Our theme this morning is rejection versus love. Lost at home in parentheses. Last week, I preached about the prodigal son that got bored being at home under parental guidance, and he decided to take all of his, what he had coming from his father, a third of his father's wealth, and go off into a far country. And he went off into the far country, and in order for him to come home, he had to come to himself. And when he came to himself, his father received him back home as a loving father would that represented God. But when we look at this 15th chapter, we talked last week about the three things that got lost. The first one was the sheep that nibble itself into lostness. The sheep with the small mouth and the big belly that had to eat all day in order to fill up his belly because the mouth was so small. And the lady with the corn that rolled into lostness, and she stopped everything she was doing to look for the corn. And then we talked about the boy, cognizant of what he needed to do, decided to take all he had and walk into a world of lostness, into a far country where there are no rules and there's no regulations. You can just do whatever you want to do. But when he gave out of money, he ran out of friends, and a famine came on the land, and he had to work in the pig pens and almost ate the food that the pigs was about to eat. But then the most tragic thing that I found out about this 15th chapter is that there are very little, hardly anything written about the most tragic person in this whole 15th chapter. And that is the boy that stayed at home. The whole focus of Jesus telling this parable to the Pharisees was to make them see themselves. But you're not going to see the Pharisees in the sheep. You're not going to see them in the corn. You're not going to see them in the boy that left home. But you can only see them in the boy that stayed at home. The boy that was not ready to receive his lost brother from the far country. When we look at our lesson text, many people in our society today are lost at home. Let me clear that up for most of you, because when you no longer, young folk, when you no longer have anything in common with your parents or when anybody in your home, when you go off to college and serve in one semester and you know all and see all and nothing your parents can tell you, and I know we got all these things now, cell phones and you name it, and we can be in our room and talking to people all across the world, but when there is no talking to our parents, when there is no socialization in the house with husband and wife, when there is no relationship, when people are not relating to one another, I saw a man, my wife and I was in a restaurant. They were sitting up there texting each other in the restaurant. When there is no relationship, we can be lost at home. It's sad. It's one thing to go into the far country, but it's another thing to be lost at home. Many people in our world today are lost at home. Many people on our jobs are lost at work. Many people in our society today are lost at school. Anytime you go off to college, and I have a young man that went off to college with me here this morning, Julius Lowe, sitting there. Anytime you go off to school or anytime you go to work and you forget the purpose from which you were there, you are lost. At work, you're lost at home, and you can be lost at school. But the biggest tragedy is that we have so many people, because in the church, we have failed to disciple people before we call them Christians. And that has been a big problem in the church. We have people that are calling themselves Christians, but have not been discipled. Yeah. So we have so many people that's in the church that they are lost in the church. They're lost in the church because they don't realize the purpose for which God had called them. For God has two callings. He has a general call that goes out to every person, and he has an effectual call. Those of us who have answered our effectual call, it is according to God's purpose. And once we forget God's purpose, then we can be lost at the church. When we think we come to the church to have our way, you know, we planted this church almost 10 years ago. We've had some people to come in to stay, and we've had some people to come in to leave. But I can guarantee you, as the pastor, every person that has left has been a person that tried to have their own way. I guess they thought this was Burger King. Make it like you want to make it. But this is God's way. This is God's church. This is what God called us, the ecclesia, out of the world. So we have so many people that, but this tragic thing, when you forget the purpose of the church, when you walk around the church in your arrogance, and when you walk around the church with all of your self-centeredness, your ego-centered, you are lost. When you call yourself a Christian, and there is no humility. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. We are lost at church. This boy who didn't go anywhere. This boy that stayed at home. The most tragic. But the most tragic thing is that there's very little written. The scholars have omitted that they're very little written. I can go through so many commentaries, but you very little written about the tragedy of being lost at home. We will look at 3 points this morning very quickly. Our first one is the meaning of the music and the dancing. That's verse 25 through verse 27. And then my second point is the rejection of the lost brother, verses 28 through verse 30. And then my last point is the father's love. That's verse 31 through verse 32. So we look at the background of this, describing the attitude of the elder brother. Jesus presents a clear picture as to what the Pharisees look like when coming to question him in the first part of this chapter. They said, not only does he receive sinners, but he eat with them. So Jesus decided to tell 3 parables. But the last parable, he was talking directly to the Pharisees. That's what so many people have missed this point. Today, I would teach that outwardly, we can be pious and respectable, but inwardly, still empty and estranged from God. That's when we are lost. Did y'all get that? Outwardly, we can be pious and respectable. You can come to church. I love God. You can come to church and serve on every committee. You can even spend the night at the church. But outwardly, you present a shell outwardly, but inwardly, you are rebellious. Inwardly, you are empty. You are spiritually. Folks try to work with you on a committee, and they get close up on you, and they say, I don't know. I don't see Jesus. So we come up now to the first point. In verse number 25 in this chapter, it says, and now the elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, What do these things mean? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. The elder brother was out in the field working. Now, I'm just going to tell you about the work he was doing, because he wasn't serving his father as a worker. He was serving his father as a servant. he had no longer become a child because he was serving his father as a servant, and he was just working for the things that he could get. He wasn't working for the joy of doing it. So now he's out there working in the field, and all of a sudden he hear the music. Now, I don't know what the music was saying. It may have been Billie Jean or somebody. I don't know what was going on up in there, but all of a sudden the music started playing. I don't know what was playing. I don't know what was going on up in there, but all of a sudden the music started playing, and he heard the music, and he said, and you know, when you're mean and hateful, and as they say down south, grateful hearted. Y'all don't know that term. Do the Brandies, grateful hearted. Y'all don't know nothing about that kind of mean. We had some folks in our neighborhood, they was grateful hearted. They were some mean folks. They got up in the morning and they said, if you sweat on your nose, you got it from your daddy. You know, they say you was mean. So we had this young boy out there. He was mad already. And he came and he heard this music playing. So when he heard this music playing, that even made him madder. He said, now they got a party going over here, and they got a party going over there, and no one has invited me to the party. Not that I want to go. I'm not mad because I'm just mad anyway. I'm mad. I'm just mad. So he heard the music playing, and then he goes and grabs a servant, and he says, what is this music playing about? What's going on here? And they say, listen, your brother that was out there in the far country, he has come home. Your father has received him. Your father has put a robe, and I'm so happy to see all these folks with purple on here today. That represents royalty. But not only, I was telling Reverend Curtis that his tie represents the Democratic color and the Republican color. When you put red and when you put red and blue together, you get purple. Am I right about it? Hallelujah. So that's unity. So that's what we're talking about here. He put a robe on the boy. He put a signet ring on his hand. He put shoes on his feet so he wouldn't be like a servant anymore. He brought him home, and his elderly brother said, Wait a minute. I'm mad. Let me tell y'all something. Everybody is not going to be happy when you get stuff. Are y'all out there? The Lord blessed me some years ago to get a Mercedes, and I had one, and I drove it up. I thought this guy was going to be happy to see me in one. He stood there next to it, looked away, and didn't say one word. Y'all know what I'm talking about? People are not going to be happy for you. They're not going to be happy because your children graduate. They're going to go be happy because your children do. They're going to be happy when they mess it up. Y'all heard me say, they just don't like you. Because they just don't like you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. They not gonna like you. I don't care what you do. They just don't like you because they just don't like you. Do y'all get that?
Yeah.
Well, let me hear you say, they just don't like me because, come on, y'all, say it with me. They just don't like me because they just don't like me. I carried a preacher out to lunch one day because he just didn't like me, and I wanted to know why. When I brought him his lunch, he said he liked me, but when he got back, he stood up still not liking me. So stop trying to say everybody like you because they don't. Yeah. Stop trying to think everybody going to be happy for you because they're not. Yeah. They're not going to like you because they just don't like you. So when we see this elder brother, how can you be upset because your young brother has come home from the far country? How can you be so upset by his return? But pay attention, because I don't want to lose this here, because he got upset about the music. It wasn't that he didn't like the genre, brother, or the music. He didn't like the fact that there was music. There was dancing. Let me just go on down. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And he says, and he was angry. He was angry and would not go in there, and came to his father out and entreated him. His father saw him, and his father said, well, maybe I can go out and talk to the boy and help him to understand. I want to know why he won't come into the party. I want him to be here. I don't understand why he is so angry. But let me tell you something here. He said, listen. He says, and he was angry and would not go in, and therefore the father came out and entreated him. Pay attention to this 29th verse. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress any time thou commandments, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. Listen, I've served you many years. I've done many things for you. But see, this word, you have to understand what I said earlier. Outwardly, you're respectful. Outwardly, you're pious. Outwardly, he carried out his father's orders. But inwardly, he was rebellious. Inwardly, he was empty. Inwardly, he was estranged from his father. He was there, but he was already estranged. See, in order to be somewhere. See, when I'm home with my family, that's the happiest place I can be. But if you are not happy there, see, this boy was at home. And the reason that he didn't enjoy the stuff that he had, all the stuff that his father had, because he had so much hatred in him. He wasn't there. He was always full of hate. He got up mad. He went to bed mad. He was, the only thing that he was happy about was that his brother had gone away. But now the main thing that he was happy about, the boy didn't come back home. So he said all these years in this attitude. And he referred, and you go on down, in the next verse, he's going to refer to his brother. He said, listen, that son of yours, he didn't call him his brother. He said, that son of yours now has returned home, and now you give him all this stuff. But you never gave me anything. But now, wait a minute. If you go back in Deuteronomy, it says that the elder brother would receive two-thirds, a double portion of the father's goods. Everything that the father had now belonged to him, because the father had already given one-third away to the younger brother. So everything the father had was his. But he ain't. She's gonna tell you something. And I told my wife about that. The devil is stupid. Y'all can write that down. That's Shannon theology. I met with him. I know him. Just like I know God by his name, Yahweh, I know the devil by his name, Lucifer. Because he tried to tear up our church. I know him. But you see, the devil, when the devil sees things, he's the first thing he's going to come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But you see, this the way the devil works is that when you're drowned, and he want to pour water on you. Yeah, nah. Am I right about it? When the devil see you hurt, he wants to make sure you even hurt worse. And see, that's what this young man was so happy about, that his brother had gone home and hadn't come back home. He didn't care about his brother being out there in a hog pen or none of that. He just was happy that he wasn't there. But now his father had taken the fatted calf and all of this stuff and had a party for his brother. And now he said, you haven't given me anything. Now, when I checked, he hadn't asked the father for anything. Y'all still with me? And now I'm going to tell you something. That's why I said the devil can really get stupid. Because when he gets so mad, he go to lying. Y'all know I'm right, don't you? When he gets so mad and can't make his point, he's going to go to lying. Ain't that right, Herb? He's going to go to lying. Now pay attention to this 30th verse. Watch this line. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots. Now, who told the boy that the boy had taken his money and gone out in the far country and spent it on prostitutes? Nobody told him that. Thou hast killed a fatted calf. You mean, say, listen, see, pay attention to people. The things that people have within themselves are the things that they're going to accuse you of. Are y'all with me? See, the one thing that people are going to attack you on is your character. When they don't have nothing else on you, they're going to try to get your character. And see, when they're going to try to attack your character, and see, once they attack your character, see, they think you got it. So now this elderly brother, who had been out in the field, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing some things here because he brought up these harlots. I didn't. The young brother hadn't been with him, so evidently, he had been out in the field thinking about some things. Are y'all with me? He had been out in the field, but he had been out in the field thinking about some things that he wanted to do. Watch them folk that accuse you of things that you have no idea of wanting to do, because these are the very same. That nobody told him that this boy had been with no prostitutes. But that's what he accused his brother of. But the thing that I like about the father, in verse 31 and verse 32, and the father said unto the son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You know, you don't have to get mad because somebody can sing better than you. God is going to give you what you need. You don't have to get mad because God has blessed somebody else with a nice home and a good marriage. You know, this jealousy thing, you don't have to get mad about that. See, God has predestined you. God foreknow you, and God predestined you for his purpose. God has a purpose for you in your life. And let me tell you something. You're the only person in this dispensation that can fill it. If you don't do it in this time, it won't get done. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad that this thy son was dead and is alive again, and was lost, and is now found. He said, listen, the family should celebrate when the child comes home. He said, because Jesus said, after all, they celebrated when they brought the lost sheep. The lady celebrated when she found the lost coin. So now the whole golden thread in this thing is that we are going to be happy when somebody comes home. See, when somebody come down that aisle, somebody come out of the far country, when they come to Christ, we ought to be shouting every time somebody come to Christ. When we got 17 people being killed on the weekend and 40 shot in Chicago, we ought to be celebrating when we lead people to Christ and pull them out. My son went for a job the other day, and he said, Dad, they're trying to do a background check on me. I said, yeah. He said, ain't nothing in my background. They can check. Hallelujah! I go to prison, and I see boys my son's age down the state field. They got a record so long. But he said, ain't nothing in his background. How we get that, church? See, in order to raise children, you got to have a 220 plug. You can't do it on a 110. See, a 110, if you draw fire on a 110, you're going to blow the circuit breaker. But if you put it in a 210, you can draw fire. You can't draw fire unless you have a 220. Come on, if y'all don't understand what I'm talking about, talk to an electrician. Or go to Home Depot somewhere. But I just want you to know, before I go to my seat, I just want you to know that God is able. The most important question here is that, are you still in the far country? Have you decided to come home and to repent? The main thing here is that this elder brother, who was a tragic loss, was at home. But let me just share something with you here, because I read something the other day. And you need to pay attention to these things. Now, Terry Williams has written a great book. It's called Black Pain. Now, she lists 20 things that will give you a sign of a person that suffers from depression. I want you to write this down. Now, if you don't get it all down, my brother Murphy back there going to have this on our website, and you go and listen to this sermon, okay? The first one is, I only have five, but it's 20 in the book. The first one is, you keep things that bother you locked up inside. You hold on to grudges too long. You lie about everything, even simple things, number two. You are not doing work that brings you joy. You are just working a gig and holding out for a paycheck. You have a persistent feeling that something is wrong And you're right. You're never happy. You always walk around thinking something is wrong. And then she say, you cry for no reason at all. And then the last one. Every morning, you wake up with crippling and terrified feelings, and you cannot even face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Before I go to my seat, I just want to tell you one story. Hallelujah. This lady was married, and she hated her husband because when they got married, the first thing he showed her was a list. He had 25 things on this list. And he said, every day when I come home from work, I'm going to check this list and see if you've done any of these things that I have on this list for you. He said, every day he got home, Sister Foster, he pulled out the list. And he started checking. Did she clean the house? Every day he went down. And I'm going to tell you something. This lady grew to, she just hated that list. She hated him. She hated everything about the marriage. But then all of a sudden he died. He just hauled off and died. And then guess what? A couple of years later, she got married again. And the man she married, he said, listen, now y'all know me. You can marry within the church. You can divorce within the church. And you can remarry again. Check me out. Call me during the week and I can explain that to you. But anyway, she married again. When she married again, the husband told her, say, listen, when you get up in the morning, the only thing I want you to know is that I love you. I'm going to call you from work every day, and I'm going to let you know I love you. When I walk in the house every day, I'm going to let you know I love you. And before I go to bed every night, I'm going to let you know I love you. So this new husband that she had, this new husband let her know that all he did was just love her. So one day, she was cleaning up the house. And she found the old list from the first husband. Y'all paying attention? And she said, you know what? Everything that he had, my old husband had on this list, I'm doing it, but I'm doing it not because I love him. I'm doing it out of love. Are y'all out there? Are y'all out there? So when you do things out of love, you don't get this hard attitude. You can't make people love you by list. You can't make people love you by an election. You can't make people love you. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. Because the thing that we have to understand about facing this world, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to worry about all this stuff when you're looking at God, because he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and his glory. He's a waymaker out of no way. God wants you to know that he loves you. God wants you to do things and respond to him. He said, God wants you to do things. I beseech you, brother, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that ought to be reasonable for what God has done for you. Are you out there? Nobody never loved you like God loves you. You don't have to play tennis to hear the word love when God loves you. Are you out there? God is calling you today because he loves you. Come to God because he loves you.